So there's a nice little phrase, Mishpat, in Satipatthana Sutta, which is a classic text with instruction for mindfulness, that says you need to use or develop mindfulness to the extent necessary for the development of qualities. And it's quite a nice description that some of the tools that we're using, we need to develop to the extent necessary for the development of qualities. And in the case of this retreat, the qualities of the heart. So I just want to start off with that, that we need to continue with enough awareness to be able to practice this practice. So from the side of awareness, which includes breath and body awareness and being present and knowing what's going on and being clear, we just need to have it to the extent necessary to do the practice. And so I recommend not forgetting it completely, being with it there in the background, maybe at the beginning of a sitting, just connecting with breath and body in order to bring us here. And then being here and aware, without which we don't know anything, we move to the heart practice. So now and then in the day, you can make sure that the awareness and the presence, just confirm it, support it a little bit, take a few moments, walking, touching the earth, breathing, the body, and just reminding you to the extent necessary to do the practice that we're doing here in the retreat. So it's a light, we need to give all the time a light support to awareness. And then with this awareness, we can develop qualities, particularly qualities of the heart. And don't forget to pay attention to the fact that this is a retreat. A lot of things are happening just because we're in retreat. Retreat is a vessel that does things. It's a condition that creates results. So appreciate the fact that we're in retreat. Appreciate the silence. Appreciate the atmosphere. Get a sense of the power of the environment, of each other, how we're all supporting each other here. Just be aware that the retreat does things anyway, and just knowing that, and respecting that space, because it's a beneficial space. It's a condition that will help the arising of experiences that are relevant, that are important. So we're continuing to develop qualities, basic, very fundamental basic qualities of friendliness, of closeness, of warmth, of compassion, and the qualities which we have had and we have in us already from childhood, but so easy to forget in the struggle for life and in the fears and the protection that we built and the walls that we built around ourselves. But we all of us have those qualities in us of friendliness, of warmth, of closeness, of intimacy, of empathy, and of compassion. They're already there. What we're doing here is giving them more space, more attention, more respect, more interest. I think what I said about mindfulness also applies to the phrases. We're here to be wise in our practice. And this is quite an individual journey. It's hard to give a formula. For example, if I was giving instructions on mindfulness of breathing, I would say, be attentive to the in-breath and the out-breath and the space in between, and maybe favor the tummy. It's kind of a formula. But if I use the word softness, as we did at the beginning of the retreat, that's no formula anymore. And every one of you is going to interpret that word softness in a totally different way, according to your nature. So the same with this practice. The heart practice is more individual. So I'm inviting you really to explore what works for each of you, and to feel freedom. What works? Which of the mishpatim work? How much to use them? Maybe change the language if you feel you want to explore a way that they work. Don't forget to have some space around them so that you actually feel the vibration that they bring. Like we were talking yesterday about the stone in the water in the pool and watching what happens when we throw the stone. The words are strong. They make waves in the mind and in the heart. What waves do they make? We need to give some space. But how much the words and how much the space around them and how much which words work for us and which images work for us, all of that is very individual. So you really need to kind of try things out, because the heart isn't really a linear thing. That we're not talking about cause and effect, sibatiyut. It's not a linear sibatiyut kind of practice. It's much more like the heart, holistic, open, uncontrolled. But we're all moving again and again. The movement is towards friendliness, towards open of the heart, towards less fear, towards more sense of kindness, belonging, compassion. So the movement is very clear, but the steps on the way are very individual. We need to listen to the heart without judgment. Don't judge the heart. If anger comes, that's what it wants to say right now. It's not a problem. We said it before. Relate to the heart telling us what it wants to tell us. Like a child, 1 minute it cries, next minute it laughs. And our response is the same. Caring, friendly, we hold the heart even if it tells us, I'm wounded, I'm angry, I don't like this, I'm not happy. So we don't judge, we just allow the heart to express itself, but all the time moving towards kindness, towards friendliness, giving encouragement to that movement. And sometimes we need to be very listening, because the heart sometimes can say very subtle things. It can sometimes be very delicate. For example, in the groups, one or two people said, my heart is closed. It doesn't there's no feeling. I don't feel and the phrases are mechanical. They don't do anything, and my heart doesn't do anything, and it feels flat. Flatness is an expression of the heart. We forgot. The heart says, I'm flat. It's a little cry, shall we say. I'm flat. Oh, poor heart, flat heart. We tell the heart, it's okay to feel flat. I'm with you. I'm kind to you. I'm holding you in your flatness. So it needs us to be listening to whatever the heart is telling us. There isn't any moment when the heart doesn't talk to us. Every thought has behind it a feeling. Even the thought that says, I'm interested in this tree but not that tree, is already a feeling. I remember once in California, I went to an evening with a teacher, and he took us all out in the street and said, walk in the street and see if your steps are taking you very, very slightly towards or away from a tree, a bush, a gate, a lamppost, Amud Hashmal. Just see if something in your steps taking you millimeters or centimeters this way or that way, and know that that's something working in you called your interest, your movement, your. The Buddha was very interested in that movement, by the way. He kept talking about it in that language of bending ourselves and knowing how we bend towards, how we move towards. And he said, always move towards awakening. That was bottom line statement of the Buddha. Move towards, not I want awakening, but moving towards it with a light and consistent intention. So even that, when we look at the way out we are in our day, what we move towards is already the heart. So just be aware of delicate feelings of the heart. This is the music of the heart, and that's the raw material, Chomer Gelem, for our experience, our practice. And then the phrases come to all the time lift up, stimulate the heart, stimulate, trigger the heart, and trigger the heart in the direction of friendliness. We may have the opposite feeling, that not flatness, but being totally overwhelmed. It's all too much, my heart crazy, I can't cope. I feel like tsunami of one feeling, tsunami of another, I'm just overwhelmed. And this is exactly the invitation to pay attention to upekkha. Upekkha is equanimity, steadiness, balance. It is one of the four Brahma Viharas. And we can see, if you feel in that place, you can see why it's needed. And this is a big story, equanimity. How to find your steadiness when the tsunamis of feelings and experiences are taking us over. And some way or other we need to learn. Equanimity has many ways we can look at, we can develop it, or we can think about it. We need to learn, like Lao Tzu says, bend in order not to break. We need to be like the kane in the wind. That yes, we bend, meaning we're not a wall to shut out because it doesn't work. But we can bend in the wind and we're all right, we will not break. We can let go of control. Control seems like somewhere, something that protects us, the control. But we pay a price for control. And equanimity is not about control. It's not about building walls and shutting out what is too much for us. It's actually about letting it in. But letting it in through us, letting it pass through, letting it flow through us without hurting us. So when if the emotional waves are strong, let them pass through us without hurting, they will not hurt us if we don't be busy with them and stop them and be full of issues around them and think about them and parshanut. It's just an emotional wave that passed through, just another one emotional wave that passed through, a bit like a stormy sea, but we're like a big boat rocking on the stormy sea. It's okay. Life does not provide us with balance. We all say, I want more balance in my life. Forget it. Life doesn't supply balance. Chaim lo mesapkim lanu izun. It's always off balance, life. That's okay. We need to let it pass through us. Our emptiness, our openness, our inner freedom is our protection instead of bimkom shirion, chumot, walls. And if we really feel overwhelmed at times, just remember the earth. Walk on the earth and feel its power to hold us, the mother. So it will help you if we feel a bit overwhelmed with waves of feelings. Just walk on the earth, steady. In terms of the object or the address for our heart practice, we can start with the self, we can move then to the benefactor and the friend. And this is like the track that we've been on here so far, and it's fine, you can keep with that track. It's absolutely good enough for the development of the heart, of metta. Compassion, like I talked about last night, one place that you could find really helpful to, and this is what a kind of a new instruction that I would like to suggest now, is to address, to send, to have an address called a friend in trouble. A friend in trouble. Chaver sheyesh. So, if you can imagine, bring to mind a friend who's going through difficulty, and then address the phrases and the heart to that friend. It's a way in which it quite powerfully will energize our love and compassion. Because all of us, when we think of a friend in need, will, never mind on retreat, just in our daily life, as soon as we think of a friend in need, that comes up in a very natural way. We want to give them, we want to help them, we want to get them better. We want to get them out of their suffering and their difficulty. It just happens by itself. So it's a powerful image that will energize our heart and also move it in the direction of compassion. But anything, by the way, when we address ourselves, for example, when we have painful mental patterns, painful feelings, painful experiences in the body, the color of our feelings become compassion. Compassion, it looks like compassion. But a friend in need is a powerful image to recruit the compassionate heart. And so I suggest that we add this to our practice today. And one thing I can suggest, though, now we're and there's often a kind of illusion that if we send metta to somebody, it's like a radio transmission, and they must get better. And that metta is some sort of long-distance shalat rachok, like on the television. And we have to be careful about that kind of also linear view, that because we have metta in our heart, loving kindness in our heart, it will naturally heal somebody else, or it will naturally help somebody else, as if it's linear. What really is happening is, indeed, it's sowing seeds. What's in our heart sows seeds in the world. Zraim, it does. Zorea zraim ba'olam. But what the seeds do is not in our hands. It's in the hands of karma. And karma is much bigger than us. So if we think, if I practice metta with somebody, they will definitely get up and walk and go out of the hospital. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe they will because of the doctors, not because of our metta. But something will happen because of our metta. But we don't know what it really is. We can't. It's not a controllable thing. It's just to remind you, in case you think a little bit linear about this practice. The world is helped by our metta. There is no question about that. We are helped by our metta practice and our compassion practice. It is a gift to the world. But how it works exactly, and who benefits and when, this is not something in our hands. We can see it directly, of course, in a very natural way, in relationships with people. I remember one time years ago, I was practicing metta, and I was stopped by the police in Akko, and I was in the middle of kind of metta practice, or period of metta practice, and I was just so happy for these policemen. I was smiling at them, and they said, "Are you sure you still smile? Because the doch is 1,000 shekel. I said, "Yes, even 1,000 shekel is not going to stop my smile." And I'm sure that something made their day a little bit better, you know, that I wasn't just kind of angry with them and so on. It was just... Sure, that meeting with the Mishtara could have gone in many, many directions, and it could have been a more unpleasant for both, and it could have made a bad day or a good day for them or for me. So of course metta works. But what I'm saying is, be careful about the expectations that it will work in a certain way according to our mind. And just let go of that. And I suggest that you pay attention a little bit already now to how things are changing for you here in the retreat. Last night we had every evening the staff, the retreat Sherut, the people cooking and managing here, meet with the teachers every evening. And last night there were so many notes, takim, for the kitchen, for the yogis in the kitchen. And Danny was reading out the notes one after another, and so many. And it was like, this is just an expression of appreciation, and it's happening already. All these notes show that, in a way, the retreat is working. Just appreciation of what the gift that all the people who are giving us food are giving us. And it's just acknowledging that. And so I really saw the many, many, many takim that were being read last night in the group as being an expression that it's happening. The heart is opening. And so do pay attention to it in small ways. A little different attitude to the trees, the plants, the animals, each other. Just now and then, just notice, something is shifted. Or something. Just because it gives encouragement. It gives us a sense that the practice is happening. And just notice how things are changing for us during the course of the retreat. Just notice and then, keep going with the practice. So that's all I want to say right now in terms of instructions. We have groups today. So there's groups with Simi and Inbal at 12 o'clock, and my group at group number 2 is 10:30, straight after this session in room 11 opposite. Okay, it's not at 12, it's at 10:30, it's my group. And then we have a group again in the afternoon. And really use the groups to ask questions and raise issues, and use them fully, because they're really a way which we can fine-tuning the practice. So let's then just take half an hour to practice together, okay? 20 minutes.